I mean, over there in the Western country, you know, when they greet one another, you know, they kiss all the time. Try that in Singapore. And some of them, they come, and they are so, what I call, liberated. And, you know, and one of them, young man, and he comes, and when he ministers to people, he talks with people, especially the people of opposite sex, and he would, you know, touch them, and, you know, go near them, you know. And say, wait a minute. If this goes on, you're not staying here. This is not the place for you. They may tolerate that in Western countries, but not over here. And anyway, I don't think it's right over there. I think we have our standards. Every one of you now look very serious. Right? But here, what we are talking about is that person grew up there as a teenager. As a result, that he had a very liberated attitude. And I think that if nothing is done, it's going to affect that person's whole ministry in the future. Say, anointed, appointed, chosen. Yes, later disappointed. We have to get rid of those things. It is not, in the end, it's not the anointing that failed you, because God gave the anointing without repentance. But it's your character that failed you. Same with Samuel. That's why he went on to the second man, Saul. And the second man, Saul, is a story of failure. That's why I don't stand too long in that kind of story. But we can learn from his life. Saul had a problem worse than Samuel. But he was anointed of God. And here was Saul's problem. First problem of Saul, why he failed. Here's a story of failure. Even when God chose him and anointed him, number one, he had a problem of self-image and he always walked around with inferiority complex. It was so deep in him that when Samuel met him in the book of 1 Samuel, in chapter 9, verse 21, when Samuel wanted to talk over with Saul, 1 Samuel 9:21, he says, "Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribe of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak to me like this?" You see, again he says, "I am not a Benjamite, am I not a Benjamite of the smallest tribe? My family, the least in the whole country." Now that was not true. He was not the poorest, because the poorest don't even own donkeys. And the tribe of Benjamin is actually famous for their valor. They were fighting men. Valiant men. The Benjamites were famous for fighting. Tough people. Moreover, Saul was outwardly a very big-sized man. Chapter 9, verse 2, he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice and handsome young man. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. Wow. You would have thought that he would fell on top of the world. But it says, from his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. He was really outstanding. But on the inside, he was very small. Very, very small. It's better to be, if you have to choose between being small on the inside and small on the outside, it's better to be big on the inside and small on the outside. But if possible, have it, you know, both ways big. But here we realize, you know, there's something wrong with him. Now this inferiority complex came out later in his life at the peak of his ministry. Remember this, at the peak of your ministry, your worst character comes out. Do you know that the worst characters of people come out when they're in prosperity? And when they're in adversity. Their worst comes out. The test is whether you can handle hardship and handle ease. That's a real test. And that inferiority complex came out when David became a subject of a song that was nicer than his. All the women after David slew Goliath, all the women were saying, you know, David slays 10,000, Saul 1,000. When Saul heard that song, that was one song he never liked. It was not on his top 10. And as king, he struck off that song completely. And not only did he want to strike off that song, he want to strike off the object of that song. David. Why did he feel that way? Because he was insecure. Inferiority complex produces insecurity. He was insecure in himself. And because he was so insecure, he has to get rid of anything that challenged his own position in order to secure himself. And that was the problem that in the end led to his own defeat. Remember this, it is not man or mountains that stop you. The only foe that can stop you from success and achievement in your own life is whatever is within you. For other men have faced more difficulties and mountains than you have and have succeeded. Against insurmountable difficulties. Never, don't look at your circumstances or those things around you and say, I cannot make it. The only thing that stops you is whatever is on the inside of you. And here is Saul. He was a defeat from the beginning. You can take a man who is never changed on the inside and put as much 10 times anointing of Elisha even on them, and they will still not succeed. The anointing breaks the yoke, but the anointing alone doesn't build your character. It's not enough to sustain, to go on. And the anointing alone will not build your ministry. It's your character and the anointing. So Saul did not have the character to back up. That's number one. He failed because of his own inferiority complex. And Saul failed, number two, because of his lack of self-control. In chapter 13, and we will classify it differently, chapter 13, his second major fault that we find that causes and leads to his failure is that Saul, as he was waiting, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 8, he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring a burnt offering and peace offerings here to me, and he offered the burnt offering. And it happened as soon as he offered the burnt offering, Samuel showed up. And Samuel said, what have you done? You have done the wrong thing. Now I want you to listen to Saul's justification. He says in verse 11, when I saw the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said the Philistines will now come down to me. Therefore I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. He says, when I saw that the people were scattered from me. In other words, Saul is saying, I have to prove to the people, do something to draw them to me. He don't have to do that. Now he says that again at another place in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15. When Samuel asked him to go and kill the Amalekites, and he did not kill all of them, he spared certain things. He brought back the fatted calf and all those things, claiming that they are for sacrificing. And Samuel told him very bluntly in verse 22-23 as a prophet, he says, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of ram. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. In verse 24, notice what Samuel says. I have sinned, I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now look at his second major big fault here. He is a man, because he is insecure, it led to problem number two. He became a man moved by circumstances and people. See, if you have nothing inside to overcome the pressure outside, you will end up flowing with the pressure outside. You go where the pressure pushes you. So he always felt compelled to do something, to please the people. Always, you know, being compelled and flow along with circumstances and everything. And just flow along. And he ended up a failure. The second major problem. He would rather heed the people than pay heed to God. His third major problem that led to his defeat in chapter 14, in verse 24, the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had placed the people under oath, saying, "Cursed is the man who eats any food until evening, before I have taken vengeance on my enemies." And it's called Saul's rash oath. In other words, Saul rashly make decisions and commitments. And then he sticks to the wrong one. That's problem number three. And each problem leads to the other. Because he was insecure, therefore he has nothing to go by. He has to go by what is external. And then, going by external, he ends up in chapter 3, a man who lives by his senses. And so Saul makes an oath, and he does a lot of other rash things that you can see later. He rashly makes the decision to kill the priest. And rashly goes after David, changes his mind, come back and start over again, going against David. He was a very rash man. A man who lived for the moment, but not for eternity. And that kind of person will not last. There are people who are called to the fivefold ministries, and some of them, church history has record, some of them had died and gone to be with God. Some of those people live for the anointing and only by the anointing. They are only able to live there. A.A. Allen, you know, a man who died a drunkard, powerful ministry of God. He lived only in that anointing. When the anointing was gone, he went aside and sinned. There are other people who could do and perform. Then when the anointing disappears, they also go off track. They live only for that moment, but they didn't live for eternity. Therefore, they fail eternally. They fail eternally. That's the three major problems that came forth in Saul's life. And we look over at David's life in his preparation as we close. We'll look more into David's life, but we just touch on it since the book of 1 Samuel. Chapter 16 starts his life. And in 1 Samuel, in chapter 16, now David's life was different. Chapter 16, David was anointed. Anointed. And he received the anointing from God. Now it's important to receive the anointing too. But it must be backed up with character. Then in chapter 17, David moves into the faith message. He confessed because he believed it. So he was anointed and he moved into faith and confession in chapter 17. Then, after he moved to that, in chapter 18, he moved into service. And these are the progressions of David's life. The anointing, the confession, the service. In chapter 18, he learned to serve Saul. He marries Michal, Saul's daughter, and he lived a life of servitude. And the life of service is a life of learning to be broken. We learn to be built up, we learn to be broken, that is, have a humble and contrite spirit. If we don't balance it, we will be out of place.